That was all my heart. The older I get, the more I just see God indeed is a good God. His ways are perfect. His judgments are beautiful. Something that's been on my mind recently is judgment, condemning people. But they're right. God's judgments are perfect. Mine aren't. And as Mark was saying, our judgments are often flawed, aren't they? Because some people, it's for me, I think for all of us possibly, some people just seems like it's easier to get along with than others. And some of the drunks rub me the wrong way sometimes. And my judgment towards them is different oftentimes than it is towards my friends. So I'm glad to leave the judgments to God. He judges righteously. He has no favorites. Nobody's going to be slighted, and nobody's going to be favored. It's just going to be right. Perfect. Therefore, his judgments are beautiful. I thank God this morning that he is God. I'm glad for this opportunity to be here to worship God with you all. My heart's desire would be to lift up Jesus this morning. And I'd like to preach a message about Jesus this morning. That's what I'd like to preach about, is Jesus Christ. We sang a song. I was in prison because somebody committed their lives last night. They committed their lives to the Lord last night, and I rejoice. I'm thankful for that. But I was thankful for my salvation, too. And it interests me when I see older people that have not lost the wonder and awe that they're saved by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. We get used to things in life, don't we? We have a tendency to sort of ho-hum our way through life. And one of the challenges to me is to keep God fresh in my mind, to walk consciously and consciously serve God rather than habitually, just out of habit. It's something we always do. We always did. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be living and real in your heart for God to honor it and accept it. And that's one of the challenges I face in my life is to keep this first in my life. There's many pressures that are pressing in on us. Right. Oh, beloved, it's true. There's a lot of distractions out there to deviate us from truth and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to share with you a scripture that Paul told to the Corinthians. I was blessed by this. And I, brethren, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was Paul's heart. Well, what, Paul, what about all the other doctrines? Wasn't Paul a man of doctrine? Well, read the epistles. But one thing that blesses me that I think that Paul did with all the doctrines, Christ was the center of every one of them. It was all about Jesus. And some of you probably heard me preach this message before. I don't make any apologies for it because I don't get tired preaching about Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling in my speech, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That is my heart's desire, beloved, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Too many people today have their faith simply set in the wisdom of men. It's all here. It's all intellectual. It's not real. They're not experiencing the power of God in their lives. We hear this cry again and again. We need something more. We need something more. And I praise God for those desires. God will give you more if your heart is sincere. But if it's just intellectual, you're spinning wheels. It's got to be reality in the heart. It's got to be in the power of God. And that's why Paul wasn't out there tickling ears, preaching fancy messages. He preached in the demonstration of the Spirit and power that the faith of the believers might be connected to the almighty power of God. And beloved, if there ever was a time that you and I need that power in our lives to discern our way through this maze of wilderness that we're going through is today. The last days are perilous times, the Bible tells us. There's a lot of deception. There is worldliness. There's just, the world is pressing in, beloved. And if the power of God and the reality of Jesus isn't in you, you're going to get swept away. I believe that this morning. Yes. We need to be anchored in truth. Our connection to God must be real. Your faith needs to be in the power of God. Not in yourself. Not in your faith. But your faith needs to be in the power of God. Connected to that. Turn with me to the Epistle of John, chapter 3, this morning. I have a question this morning. Somebody comes to you and asks you, do you love Jesus? Yes, I love Jesus. You know, we say that pretty easy. I think if I'd ask most of you, probably most of you would say, yeah, I love Jesus. And I'm not saying, oh, that's just words. Praise God this morning that we have the courage to say, yes, I love Jesus. But, you know, to love Jesus is more than walking around and saying, I love Jesus. It's more to it than that. It's more than words, beloved. And this morning, I would like to preach on love, the love of God. To me, salvation is God's love in action. And I know that some people say, well, you know, we hear so much about the love of God today. You know, we need other messages too. And I agree with that, that we do need other messages. But the love of God to me is one of the supreme things in life. Because if you don't have it, if you don't know how to love, the fact is you don't know God. And as was mentioned yesterday, I believe George Gonzalez mentioned yesterday in his message to Rick and Melissa that love is more than a feeling and emotions. Love is a commitment. So love is something that is real and genuine. Because the Bible says God is love. And if you don't have love, you simply don't have God. That's what the Bible says. And I'm not going to change that, and I don't want to change that. But I believe, beloved, yes, I love Jesus. Well, how can you love Jesus? How is it that you can love God? Because I'm a loving person. I just love people, and I love God. Is that why? Because He first loved us. That's the heart of my message this morning. The Bible is very clear that we love Him because He first loved us. And the burden of my heart this morning is God's love real to you? We say God is love. God is so good. That's true. These are all truth, beloved. But my question to myself is, what is God's love to me? What does it do for me? What is it doing for me? I see a lot of people, struggling Christians, that are struggling to love God. It seems like there's a desire to love God. We want to love God, and we desire to love God. And somehow we're trying to get this into us, to love God. And the Bible is very clear that when you love, you surrender, you obey. Jesus said, He that loves me keeps my ways, keeps my commandments. My commandments are not grievous. And I think oftentimes what we're doing is trying to get that love into us somehow. And beloved, it will never come until you open your heart and your life to receive God's love. In truth, in reality, it's got to come in and be power. It's got to be a power more than a feeling. It's got to come into you so it can start going back out. First to God, in adoration, and in worship, and in honor, and in praise. See, when that love is really in there, and it's true, and it's reality, then out of a life like that flows love to God. You don't have to put a pin in a seat to get a guy, a brother, up to give a testimony of Jesus Christ, because the love of God is in there doing that. And that is the heart of my message this morning. Behold, in John 3 here it says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we are going to be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is, and every man that has this hope in Him purifies himself even as He is pure. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. You know, beloved, it takes time to behold something. When I think of behold, I'm going to behold that tree, you know. Oh, that's a nice tree. Hey, bring me another load of so-and-so and carry the lumber over there and make a phone call. Did you make that phone call, you know? And I'm considering this tree. I'm beholding this tree, and I glance at it several times, and I walk on. We're busy people. I'm astounded. I'm astounded coming from Latin America, coming up from the Honduras back into this society again of the, I don't know. It's a little bewildering. You know, here he comes. Oh, there he goes. And that's life here. It's just a mulling and a running and a working and money and things and on it goes. And here the Bible says, whoa, stop. Behold the love that God has for you. We glance at it. Praise the Lord. And off we go to our business. And off we go on our jobs. And off we go to this. And off we go to that. And I don't think we take time to behold, to gaze, meditate, consider until that truth comes into you, in truth and in reality. It's too superficial. And I don't think we have the time often to behold the love of God until that truth starts sinking in and refreshes your very soul. It's fresh water. It comes from the throne of God. It's real. God, Abner, loves you with an infinite love. And He cares for you every day. Oh, may we open our hearts this morning and receive that. In reality. And beloved, when that reality comes in, then out of that reality you start loving. Loving in a real way, too. It has to be real. It's not real enough. Too much of our faith is superficial. Too much of our faith is intellectual. Too much of our faith is simply in the wisdom of men. And it's not in the power of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. You know, as I said, I've often prayed, oh God, never let me lose the wonder and the awe of it all that I am your child, that your grace saved me. It was 30 years ago. But beloved, it can be as fresh today as it was when I got up off of my knees. It can be, because it's living. It's something that's true. It's the living reality of God. And I think oftentimes we don't have time, or we don't take time to meditate and behold the love of God. And just consider. Consider the price of our salvation. Consider what Jesus did for you. Consider those things. Paul said, when I was with you, I knew nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I think those truths were flowing into Paul's life, and out of that flowed his love to God. And he gave himself to death for Christ out of that love in return, because he opened his heart and received that love first. I think when too many of us are trying to love God, trying to obey His commandments. And I tell you, beloved, this morning, according to this book, the road to heaven is a narrow, straight way. There are many people that are trying to walk on it, trying to do, trying to be. And they don't allow that to come in. They're trying to somehow get themselves to live the Christian life. And beloved, until you and I stop and yield and totally surrender and let the truth of what God did for you come in and change you in the inside, your life is going to be a life of struggle and defeat. Struggle and defeat. Struggle and defeat. And I believe we can open our hearts this morning and behold the love of God until that truth starts settling into our hearts. Out of that will come adoration and love and a worship, and we want to do nothing but serve Him. Serve Him for His love that He gave to us. And I tell you, that's when the Christian life is refreshing. That's when the Christian life, that's when you get a spring in your step. That's when the joy of the Lord is on your face. It is. Then you quit this Christian life like this. Here we go. No, beloved, it's more than that. It's truth, it's reality. Jesus, God's love is real this morning. It is. We need to behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. You know, do you love God? Do you really love Him? And I'm finding out, beloved, the more that I consider in truth and in reality what Jesus Christ did for me and what He suffered and the price He paid for my sins. And when that truth sinks in, out of my heart flows worship. I don't have to put it on. I don't have to just crank it out. I'm connected. There's a bigger source than Junior Troyer now. There's something flowing in. And I can't hold it all. See the difference? You try to crank it up, you're just splashing a little water around. But beloved, when we get connected to the truth of this, then God turns on the spigot. And then the flowing starts. And then you love God. And then your Christian life is joyous. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Then when you're faced with obstacles, as Brother Abner was mentioned, this old world is out there going this way. You know, what are we going to do? Well, beloved, if you're connected and that truth is in you, that really doesn't matter that much that that's going that way, because we have truth and reality, and it's the impulse of our life. It is el impulso, like they say in Spanish. It is what motivates us, is God in us, the truth of what He did for us. Do you love God? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Yes, He did. What did God's love do? It gave, didn't it? And that's one thing I'll say about Rick and Missy. They had connection with that love. They were some of the most giving people I ever met in my life. Just giving. Giving and giving some more. Uncomplainingly. Giving. 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 And giving some more. You know what? They were joyous in doing it too. There was a joy in them. What an example. Yes, God loves you this morning. God loves you this morning. Salvation is God's love in action. In 1 John 4, the Bible says, let us love one another. Let. Is that real in your life? Is there something inside you that when you let go, love starts coming out? You know, Or are you there trying to get it to come? And in Hebrews it says, let brotherly love continue. It doesn't say make it continue. It says let it. Let. And when I think of letting, I think of surrender to God and let God in me do that. And He will. It's not an empty promise. God will do that. Let us love one another. For love is of God. This is in 1 John 4. For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into this world that we might live through Him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Do you see that, beloved? Herein is love. Aren't you glad this morning that God didn't sit up on His throne and He looked down to heaven and said, "What? I love you guys." And every once in a while, you know, we'd hear this, "I love you." That's what God's getting. That's about all He's getting from a lot of Christians. "I love you, God." Here we go. that's what God gets. Aren't you thankful He doesn't love that way? I am. In this, God manifested His love, that He gave His only Son to die for my sins. God didn't just say, I love you. He proved it. That love, God's love towards us, was manifested in Jesus Christ when He came to earth as a little baby. And He lived on earth, and He became a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. That is where God proved that He loved you. His love was manifested that way. It says that in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And as I said, God didn't just sit in heaven and say, I love you. I love you. God's love was much greater, much more genuine than that. He came right down to where you and I were, in our wretched sins, in our misery, our lostness, without God, without hope in this world. There He comes, the Holy One, the pure One, right down to us. He didn't just lift out His hand and lift us up. He gave Himself to die for my sins. That is what Jesus did. Beloved, now if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Why? Beloved brothers and sisters, why? Beloved, why is it so hard for brothers to love each other? Why? Why all the fighting, the competition, power struggles? Why? I think it's a lack of God's love in us. We're not receiving God's love. Therefore, we can't love each other. We struggle, we want to. We try our best sometimes. But beloved, it needs something. It needs to be something bigger than you. More than you are. It needs to be that love that's coming in, that comes from God, that I am a son of God through His love, beholding that love that God had for me. When that's real, I love my brother. I do. George Gonzalez, I was talking with him yesterday, and he said he heard a preacher get up, and there was a church that had a lot of strife, a lot of accusations, a lot of conflict. And he got up and he said, this church is full of little devils. Whew! People were shocked. Well, who is the accuser of the brethren? Who's the one that strives and envies and lusts? Who is it? That's him. That's who he is. The love of God, I don't think, is real enough to me. Too many times. That's why we have such a hard time loving each other. And most of all, loving God. Just being willing, you know, when you really love God, you just give. You just want to give your life to Him. And everything that you have and are, it doesn't matter anymore. Because there's real love inside. And then it's not, well, do I have to give this up? And can I do this? And I want to do this. See, those things all sort of fade back when the real love is in there. It doesn't matter. I love God. That is my heart. That is me. That is who I've become because I opened my heart to the love that God has. Now, I can love. I can love God. I love Him because He first loved me. And I see so many people struggling and trying to love God, but it seems like their life is shut up to receive God's love in their own lives.
The love they can conjure up is not going to cut it.
It's not going to do it. You need more than you can ever conjure up in your own life. You need to open your life, humble yourself, and reach out and realize what God did for you. Let that come in. Then out of your life flows rivers of living water. And I think that's the only way, beloved. I believe that's the only way. We love because He first loved us. And am I wrong in saying, I believe, beloved, this morning, that is the only way that you can truly love your brothers and truly love God, is if it's a result of God's love in you, sister Anne. You know, when that is fresh and real, and you feel God's love, you know you're accepted in the beloved. And it's just, oh, this is wonderful. I, a sinner, saved, have a home in heaven. I'm adopted. I'm a child. I'm a slave no longer. Oh, when those truths come in, it stirs you up. It can't be otherwise. There's a refreshing comes into your life, and out of that flows gratitude. Out of that flows thankfulness. Out of that flows praise and worship to God. And out of that flows love to a brother that stumbles and gets muddy and makes you muddy. You love him anyhow, because there's a greater love in you than yourself. It's God's love. And Mark told us this morning, His ways aren't our ways. And that in the context of mercy and forgiveness. Do you realize, Mark, if we're walking in Christ that is flowing into you, then your ways can be His ways. Isn't that awesome? That's wonderful this morning. But beloved, it is always a result of Him, not of who I am, but because of who He is. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's what it says. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Yes. Do you know that the devils know that too? The devils know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You go down there to Honduras, where I am in Erandigi, you can walk through that town, almost 100% of them. If you'd ask them, who is Jesus Christ? He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of God. That's the wisdom of men. That's head knowledge. When that truth comes into a man's life, it transforms him. His whole life is changed. Absolutely changed. It's different. 100%. When that truth comes in. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. Really? Yes. But if it's reality, it's going to affect you. If that is real in your life, it's going to affect your walk. It's going to affect your love to God. It's going to affect your life totally. How you love your wife, how you love your children, how you love the brotherhood, and your lost neighbor. It's just that way. We have known and believe the love that God has to us. You know, when you know that and believe it, and when that truth gets in, that's my burden, beloved. It's not just here. And giving a mental assent to yes and amen. And glory to God, it's more than that. It's a living reality that comes in. And then you will have, hallelujah. Praise God, I'm a son of God. I'm on the way to glory. God said so. When that faith is living and real, it produces those things in your life. It will. I'm convinced it will. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That's something, the Bible talks about boldness in several places. Boldness in the day of judgment? Aren't we all just going to crouch down and hope that everything's going to be all right? How is this? Judgment is a fearful thing. It's a horrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God, of a living God. It is. If a man's unprepared and meets up with God that way, that's the horror of all horrors. It's the way it is. It's the way it's going to be. But we can have boldness in the day of judgment. Not arrogance, not cockiness, but confidence. A face that is solid. You know, it doesn't shake. Even when you come before God in judgment, it's not there shaking. It's truth. It's what Jesus did. And there we stand. And therefore, it's not this way. It's with boldness that we can come to the judgment of God. In full assurance. And this morning we had prayer meeting down here in the basement. And I love to think, when I go to prayer, when I get on my knees and I pray, I love to think of Hebrews where God says, here's my mercy seat. Here's the Holy of Holies. Right here is where I am. Son, the door is open. The veil is rent. Come on in. Come right on in. Too often we kneel out there in the gravel. And we pray. Because we're humble. You know, we're the humble people. Well, maybe we'll open the door and even look in. God says, no, come right on in. Come on in. Come bold into the throne of grace. Come on in. Right here to the mercy seat. Right here to where I am. Right here you make your intercession. And I will do. I will supply your needs. And you know, it's amazing. Who am I? Who am I? It's not who I am. It's whom I have inside of me. It's in whom I believe. It's because I'm convinced of his love. I have beheld the love of God to the point where it's real in my life. Therefore, I can come on in because I know that God loves me. I know that I am his son. And I can come right on in. And you don't strut when you come into the presence of God. That's not what I'm saying. But you can be bold. You can be fully confident just to come right on into the presence of God because Christ's blood availed. It was real. It worked. It did its job. Isaiah 53, I won't have time to go into that. Oh, beloved, reading that scripture just puts jingles up and down my spine. What God did for us. We esteemed him smitten of God and afflicted. The people looked at him and, but he was smitten for my transgression. He was afflicted for me. Beloved, if you read these things, and if I'd have time, I'd like to go through the Gospels and preach on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. That is how God loves. Love is manifested to us. That is what Jesus did. He didn't sit on some high lofty throne and look down and say, I love you. He came right down to this sin-filled, cursed earth, right into the gutter of the slum and the slime. And he picked us up and he took it all on himself. And he was rejected and despised of men. He was mocked and scorned. He was holy. He was perfect. The more real that is in your life, the more you just want to love God and forget about everything else. I mean, these little fickle things that are so important to a lot of us, they simply go by the wayside when that love is real. And beloved, you stop and think, and you be honest with your own heart and your own life. When the love of God is waxing cold in your own experience, you start setting up this and trying to set up this to keep you in the way. That you at least live right and try to do right. The Christian life is more than that. It just is. I believe that with all my heart this morning. When the truth and the reality of Jesus Christ is in there and flowing out, you have a focus and you have a vision, and it's about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you walk straight because you're just looking there. You're not looking right. Because he is the love of your life. Because it came in, now it's going back out. And I can love because I was loved. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. My, oh my. That's just, these are awesome words. And there is no fear in love. Do you know, I was talking with one of my sons recently, since we're back from Honduras. We're just talking about needs, trends, things like this that we see in the church. Do you realize how often we act in fear. There's worldliness. Oh, we get all excited and we're fearful. That's not going to come out right. You need to let love come in until it's perfected. And it's not that I have a healthy respect for the devil and evil because I know the power that it has in a man's life. And so I think there's a healthy respect, but to fear, just, the world is evil. We're living in perilous times, and you look here and you look there, and you're trying to find your way. No, you're going to lose the way. You're going to have to look to Jesus Christ and keep your focus there. Keep it there and let that love be flowing out of you and receiving that love back in. And I'll tell you, that sheds light in your life that you know the path and you walk in that path. All these deceptions and this other stuff falls by the wayside. You are a conqueror. You overcome that way. And beloved, may I say, you only overcome that way. Other methods fail. They do. You're just purposing in your heart not to contaminate yourself with the world. It's not enough. That first thing you know, I'm so glad we're not like that church over there. That's worldly. Somehow it got in there. It works that way. But you know, when you keep your focus on Jesus, you're not looking at those other churches. You know, getting a 6-foot finger. I wish everybody had a finger like this. But in churches, we have 6-foot fingers oftentimes. And it's because this isn't real. It's because this is not real. We love him because he first loved us. That's the only way. It won't work any other way. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he's a liar. That's not my idea. That's God's. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him. He that loveth God, love his brother also. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you now, through that poverty that Christ had, when he took all your sins, now you're rich. You're a saint. You're washed in the blood. You're a daughter of God. God looks at you and says, she's mine. I bought her with a price. Oh, beloved, these truths need to get a hold of us, brothers. It's not real enough amongst us. I'm not looking to the Mennonites and to the Amish and to the Baptists. I'm looking at you this morning. That's my burden. I don't think it's real enough amongst us. Right here. Right here. Christ was willing, though he was the king, he was. He was the Son of God. He was the creator. Chose to be born of a woman. How he condescended and how he came down. Down. I would to God I could grasp more of that sometimes. And you know, by meditating and beholding the love of God, I get a little deeper glimpses once in a while. I get more and more of that. Those truths of what Jesus really did when he came to earth. And if you think you have to humble yourself, and this is about the ultimate humiliation now, if I went down about as far as I can go, you did not even take 2 steps compared to Christ's 10,000. Because you were not God. You were a sinner. That's what you started out with. He wasn't. He was God. And yet he came down, 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 and on down. Abner, he came all the way down to Junior. Troyer, that's where he came to. Just on and on. He didn't stop. His love was real. He manifested it to me that way. That's how God's love is. And I feel so ashamed sometimes when I struggle with loving a brother. Oh, may God open our hearts this morning to his love. That it comes in truth and in reality. That it transforms our lives. That out of this church will start flowing love like never before. First love to God.
The joy of your lives is to serve God. It's not to make another $1,000. It's to serve God. It's to live for Him that died for me.
And you know what? You will love the brethren. You can't help but. God's love is in there. It just comes out. God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, He has quickened us. He has quickened us together with Christ, and by grace He saved us. That's how God manifested His love. Aren't you glad that He did it that way? That He didn't just sit in heaven, "I love you, woohoo, I love you." He came right down and did what needed to be done to salvage your poor, never-dying soul. That's what God's love is. Now my question is, what is my love to God? What is my love to Him? You know, I can't help it, brother. Sometimes when I think of these things, when I meditate and behold, it just humbles me. I hang my head. I'm a needy man. I need more of that love. I have not been perfect in this. And I'm not saying that I am. But beloved, I want more of that. I want that truth to be more real to me as I grow older. The truth of who I am in Jesus Christ and what He did for me. Came to the garden after the Last Supper. Told Peter, James, and John to pray with Him. And He told them, "My soul, I'm sore amazed," Jesus said, "and very heavy. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death," He said. The weight of my sins, brother, started pressing on Christ. It just pressed Him down. He felt alone. And have you ever thought of how heavy, when you sin, how heavy that guilt can be sometimes in your life? That's only your sin. Can you imagine the sins of the whole world starting to press on Christ? He was exceedingly sorrowful. He was sorrowful. There was a heaviness. And He began to be sore amazed. And beloved, when He looked into that cup, He didn't want to drink it. I believe in that cup there in Gethsemane was the condemnation of God against all sin that was ever committed in the face of this world. In the face of this earth. There it was. And Christ looked in there. That's the wrath of God against that sin. The judgment. And He cringed. He cringed. That's real. That was real for Christ. Though He was the Son of God. He went and He prayed. He came back and saw His disciples sleeping. He said, "Can't you even watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray." And then He made this statement. He said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I always thought He said, "Disciples, I see, you know, your flesh." I think Jesus was talking about Himself. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is here. No. God, is there any other way? That was the flesh of Jesus. Jesus Christ knows what it is to suffer in the flesh. He does. He had flesh, just like you and I do. He was tempted in all points like you are. And I tell you, for God to do that, to be willing to come down and be tempted in all manners as you are, that is a great step. That is an awesome manifestation of love to me. You know, brothers, I don't think these truths are real love to me many times in my life. I want those truths to become more real, more real, more real, deeper in my life and my experience with God. That I can behold the love of God to a point where it becomes the motivating factor of my life, and I'm beholding the love of God, and I'm amazed that I'm a son of God. We don't know what we shall be, but we know we're going to be like Him. We shall see Him as He is. You know, if you have this pure hope in yourself, you're going to purify yourself as He is pure. That's the outworking of that love coming in. A man of God like that is not a man. When that love comes in, "Oh, I'm loved. I'm loved." See, people have an intellectual, humanistic concept of love. God loves me so I can do as I please. Because He's my papa. You know, I can just live as I want to. And He still loves me. Yes, He loves you. But when that love is real, you don't live like that. You don't live like that. My.
No.
It's those travesuras. It's those what? Travesuras. It's the, how could you say it? The lappishness in us that caused Christ to be crucified. It's our sin nature. It's our depraved nature that caused Christ to die. And when that's real, the last thing we want to do on this earth is to cause Christ some more suffering. I know he won't physically suffer anymore. He did it once and for all. But that is doing despite to the grace of God. And when that love is real, that is far from your heart. You don't want to do despite to the grace of God. You want to honor God. You want to love him and walk in his ways and do what pleases him. It's just that way. There he was in the garden. He was praying. And finally he said, get up, let's go. Christ was battling. And he prayed to the point where sweat was rolling off of his face. It was like great drops of blood. And then he went into the Sanhedrin court there. He faced him. He was mocked. He was scorned. All the disciples fled. Poor Peter. We were pretty hard on him when he was there by the group of people and said, you're also one of these. Why? The way you talk, you just talk like those guys from down there in Galilee, you know. And Peter denied him. We get pretty hard on Peter. Well, where were the other 11? There was one that was in there with Peter. He was a friend of according to John, the Gospel of John. But the other 10, they were gone. And yet we're hard on Peter. Well, they couldn't even go in with and watch his trial. And Christ was alone. He suffered alone for that. The Bible tells us in Hebrews he suffered without the gate. Christ did it alone. Mark, I'm so thankful. When that cock crew, and Jesus looked around and saw Peter. Peter went out and he wept bitterly. I'm so glad that Christ's ways weren't my ways. And I'm sure Peter was too. Peter was too. He was so glad that Christ didn't react and respond like we would as human beings. He just looked at Peter. Later on, he asked Peter to confess him. And he did. But there Christ was, being forsaken by the very beloved disciples. He was alone. That's God's love for you. Judas comes on the scene. Hail, Master! Gives him a kiss. And Jesus knew it was hypocrisy and mockery. Pure schmutz. Christ could have called on 10 legions of angels and got himself out of that mess. And especially dealt with Judas, that old traitor. But he didn't. Why? Because God loves you, Mark. That's why. And God loved you. His love was greater than all that. That's how much he loves us. Then as I ask the question, why? You know, why do we find it so hard to love God sometimes? Everybody fled. Pilate found no fault with him. And here his own people were crying out, crucify him, crucify him. Away with this man, it's not fit he should live. He was the Holy Son of God. Never did wrong. He even asked in front of the high priest, he said, why smitest thou me if I've done wrong? Tell me what I did wrong. And that soldier smote him. Christ was absolutely sinless and perfect. He never failed. And here he goes. Down the Calvary Road. But beloved, he was afflicted and he was smitten and he was beaten for my sins. That's what it was. Really? Yes. It was my sins. You know, brothers and sisters, as we see Jesus doing this, and he took his cross, he was taken out to Calvary, they were pounding those nails in his hands and his feet, he was crucified with the criminals out there. That's exactly what he chose to do, Abner, because he loves you that much. You know, when I compare my love to God's love, it seems pretty fickle. But I want the true love.
I want a love to God that is like His love to me. That I'm willing to give up anything. Go through anything. Oh God, that's what He did for me.
Behold what manner of love God has bestowed upon us. And He was being crucified. And then sweet words came out of His lips.
Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. These were men, brutal men, crucifying the Lord, the Creator. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He was hanging on the cross. He looked down. He saw His mother. He saw John there. He said, John, take care of my mom. Still thinking of others in all the agony and in the pain after being scourged, beaten, and whipped, flesh hanging from His body, blood, His ribs exposed, His hair plucked out, His face so marred that a lot of people didn't even recognize Him for who He was at that time. That's what the Bible says. And there He was. And in that condition, He looked down and thought of His mother. You know, I noticed something yesterday. Rick and Missy, their special day. Their very special day. They were thinking of their widowed grandmamas and went and gave every one of them a rose. That was a blessing to me. That just simply, that's the way it is, brother. That's the way those two people live in Honduras. That's my testimony. I'm not glorifying them. I think they had a connection to this. They were connected to this love. And it was flowing back out to others. And that to me is a challenge. They were a challenge to me. And I'd like to leave that. Beloved, it's beautiful when men and women, when youth walk with God and God's love is coming out of their lives. It's a beautiful thing. It's wonderful. It is. That's what Jesus did. He thought of His mother. He's thinking of others, wasn't He? Aaron, He was thinking of you. And He did it because He loved you. See, when the going got tough and when the pain afflicted His body, and finally He fell under the cross and they were driving His nails to His hands and feet, He didn't leave off loving you because it was just too tough. See, His love was perfect. God wants to put that love in your life, Roland, and fill you with it. Not just give you a little. He wants to fill you with that love. Out of your life, it just starts flowing out to others. First of all, in obedience to God, I love my God. My greatest joy is to do His will, because I love Him. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. You know, the thing that amazes me the most of this whole thing is that there was a God in heaven, and He was looking down. He saw this whole thing taking place right in front of His eyes. He saw every time the soldiers brutally beat Christ on the face. He was blindfolded and said, prophesy unto us, who hit you? He could have told them every time. He was quiet. He was like a lamb. And that was God's love to you. And God saw it all happen. I've thought already, I've tried to, and I know this is sort of, could you say it's not even a fair comparison, but if I'd see somebody treating my son the way the Son of God was treated, I as a father would rise up. And if I could just go and everybody would be dead and my son would be free, wow, who wouldn't? You know what I mean? God was in heaven. He watched it all. And His son was in agony. His flesh was torn. He was laden down with sin. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. And God looked, and finally, God turned. And He hears His son crying, my God, Daddy, Daddy. And God turns. And Christ died. The wrenching of God's heart. To hear His son, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My son, it's because of my love for you, brother. God loves you. He loves you immensely. He loves you with an overwhelming love. He loves you with an infinite love. A love that doesn't quit. God loves you very, very much. May the truth, oh, beloved, the heart's desire this morning with this message is that this truth would come into you of how much God loved you, that it can be real in your life. That you will leave this place, and in the coming days, you will have a spring in your step and a smile on your face, a song on your heart. I am loved by God. I'm His child. I am an heir of Christ. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm going to inherit the kingdom. Oh, when this truth comes in, the world goes out. Struggles vanish in the background, and you can love. You can love God. And it's the joy of your heart and your life. Brothers and sisters in our churches, in your own life, in your families, we have concerns. I'm sure we do. All of us probably have concerns. We look into the future. And I just like to encourage us to be careful as those concerns come up. Let's meditate on the love of God. Let's get the reality of Jesus Christ into our lives, where that is the motivating. That's what makes our decisions. If not, we were probably going to fall short. And even if we fall short, God's love goes right on. It does many times. I've experienced it many times in my own life. You can determine. You can make rules. You can do this and you can do that. But until that love comes in and causes you to love God, in vain you're trying to keep the world out, the flesh down, it won't work. Though the flesh is too subtle, the world is too deceitful, beloved, the flesh is just that way. There is nobody that has enough mentality to keep that stuff warded out. What you need to be is filled with this truth, where there's no room for that stuff anymore. I think sometimes we emphasize on the fruit too much and we forget the root of the problem is we don't love God as we ought. God's love to me is not real enough and not genuine enough. May God bless you, brothers and sisters, with the eternal love of God flooding your soul, flooding your heart, flooding your life, that it will change you, and the joy of your life is going to be to serve God.